Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are at past the halfway mark of December 2017. We're headed to 2018.
Yep. You got a big event planned for New Year's?
No.
Gonna just take it easy?
I don't know. I'm not sure yet.
I remember there was a time that I would always do the black tie New Year's Eve event.
Yeah.
And that got kind of old.
Yeah. Well, most of it's gotten kind of old.
Yeah. Ain't that the truth? So what are you doing for Christmas?
Nothing special. Just, you know, hanging out with the kids and exchanging gifts, that kind of thing. Shopping.
All right. Well, let's see what we got here. Let's talk about what's going on in the markets. Of course, we know the end of the year is approaching. Therefore, you have all those money managers, hedge funds, institutions that are trying their best to make sure that there is as much gains as possible because their bonuses depend on it.
Right. So now's the time.
Now's the time to make sure to get it in. We have all that end of year window dressing. Make sure all the
lock it down.
Yeah, lock it down. Make sure all the fees are good, all the bonuses are good, and also make sure the portfolios look right. You know, make sure all the stocks that are supposed to be in the portfolios.
Yeah, trendy.
Yeah, that are the names look good and they're sexy, so that at least on that snapshot at the end of the year, they could be put out as, oh yeah, we own these. So yeah. That's what's going on now. And with the tax bill, every time the mention of tax bill looks like it's going to pass, markets take off. Like they didn't know it was going to happen. Like they didn't know the Republicans were going to vote for this no matter what happened. And we saw that the Dow Jones Industrial Average moved to an all-time high, as did the S&P and the NASDAQ and the small caps. As a matter of fact, the Dow Jones Industrial hit a record, not today, but as of yesterday, 70 all-time highs this year.
Well, that tells you something.
Yeah. I'm not sure what, but
the market likes Trump.
Yes, it likes his tax plans. Listen, they got a 21% corporate tax. They much of the hoo-ha about things that were questionable, like carried interest and the alternative minimum tax for corporations, all that's been removed and not worried about. And anything that anybody wanted in at the end, they just threw in there. As a matter of fact, they threw in a piece, especially for companies that deal with real estate. They are now eligible for the pass-through entity rules, thereby someone, I'm not sure who this may be for, but someone who owns a lot of real estate and has a big real estate operation gets a much lower tax break.
That can't be Trump.
No, because he's not going to benefit from this one bit, right?
No, he's going to take a beating, he said.
Nah, he's getting, this is good. That whole issue about the real estate was all fully directed to him and another senator in particular, but this is a windfall for him. At least from what I can see.
I don't think there's anything you can do about it.
Nope, we'll just live with it.
I do know one thing I noticed is that a lot of these CEOs and other guys, I don't fully understand the rationale for doing this, but they've been on the different financial shows. And a guy comes out, he says, and I can't name which guy because there's been a bunch of them. Well, it's going to really, I don't know if this taxing is going to benefit the public because I'll tell you what we're going to do with it. We're going to buy back more stock.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, why are you saying this?
What should they say?
They shouldn't say anything.
Oh.
They're like, queer the deal at the end.
It does seem, though, that many of these corporations are going to increase dividends, do share buybacks. There was a couple of mentions today about companies with CapEx expenditures. They're going to, you know, increase their CapEx. Of course, they have to bring back cash. And the best way to, you know, the best thing they could think of is just buying back stocks with all this extra cash they're going to have. That's how creative they are. I mean, there's some definite M&A activity going on. We saw that Hershey's bought a company this week. We saw that Snyder's snack food was eaten up. And there was a couple other deals that are pending that we saw as well. So, I mean, there's been definitely M&A activity on this, because the acquirer is looking at the fact that they can take these companies and whatever their numbers are, it will look a lot better with a lower tax rate.
Yes.
So it makes the deals that much more attractive.
Yeah. More shenanigans the way I see it.
That is right. But we got to talk about cryptos for a second because they keep on zooming. But there was a kind of a break in the action where we saw this major ramp higher over the last couple of weeks with Bitcoin and all the different coins and all that, you know, whether it's Bitcoin Cash or Ethereum or Litecoin, whatever it was, they were ramping, just ramping. And as soon as the Bitcoin futures were announced last week, or that came on live last week with the CBOE, they kind of slowed down a little bit. Then the CME came out with theirs on Sunday night, and it still kind of slowed things down. There wasn't a lot of movement in Bitcoin itself. And then until today. And tonight, Bitcoin dropped to 14,000, an absolute free fall before it recovered to about 16,000. There was an announcement that Bitcoin Cash will now be trading on the GDAX and the Coinbase platform where most of this stuff is done, or a lot of it's done. And I guess people were saying, oh, there's a new coin out there. Might as well sell some of my Bitcoin and buy this because it's a lot cheaper. So we'll see what happens with that. But it's kind of a weird thing that all the altcoins are also getting whacked. But it's pretty interesting stuff that's going on here. And as a matter of fact, it's carried over into the stock market. Because if you use the word blockchain or cryptocurrency in any kind of PR announcement, stocks go bananas.
Yeah, we noticed.
So there's a company, there's a lot of companies, but one of the most recent ones that, and a lot of this stuff is crap. It's small companies that were doing something else, that did something else, and they're kind of doing a whole pump and dump scheme here, it looks like.
Sure looks like it.
Yeah. So latest is this Longfin Financial.
Yeah.
They came public about a week or so ago. And they were, I think they came public at $5. They make an announcement 3 days or so after their IPO that they're buying a company called Zidu, I think it was called, Zidu.com, which is some kind of a cryptocurrency hoo-ha. They bought that from the owner. So in other words, the owner of the company bought it from himself for like $3 million or something like that. Okay. And they're involved in some kind of little coin thing and micro lending using Ethereum and against their coin and blah, 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 blah. Stock goes from $5 to 140. Okay.
Where were we?
Oh, unbelievable. Happened so fast. Then it goes from 140 to that day. It ends, I think it closes at about 70. Now the founder was on CNBC, probably one of the worst interviews I've ever seen in my life. Not that the interviewer was bad by the interviewer, but how the whole thing went down. So he's an Indian guy with a very thick accent. I put a link actually on the show notes here. You got to watch this. It's unbelievable. And the guy said, I don't know. This is ridiculous what the stock price is doing. It shouldn't be worth this much. I put it out at $5 last week. There's no extra money that we're making from this whole micro lending with cryptocurrencies at this point. We're just starting it. And he says it's ridiculous. He has no idea why the stock went that high. Stock came back a bit on that information. And then you know what happened? They started buying the crap out of it again this morning. And then it came down a bit from there. But still, there's just absolutely, it seems like nobody has any desire to look at what these companies are doing, just if something's in their name or
just the word.
Just the word.
Yeah, I'm putting it on the list today for today's stock list as a short.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And what I put here also is, if you look at these crypto blockchain stocks, here's a bunch of stocks. You just kind of look at the dynamic of this, of the charts. They all go, they all start going, then they just pop up from 80 cents to $1.80, from 2 cents to a dollar. Or 20 cents to a dollar, or, you know, $2 to $8, or dollar to $2. I mean, those are big gains overnight. This happened the last, like, week.
It's outrageous.
And people are getting crazy with this.
Well, it's the beginning of the end.
And you see the Fed increased rates by 25 basis points. Did you watch Janet Yellen give her testimony?
No, I really feel bad about it, but I missed her.
you didn't miss anything. I mean,
that's usually the case.
Yeah, it was a big yawn. I mean, she maintained her dovish tone, and there's no surprises in any of this. I mean, it was, you know, we're going to increase it. We may do this and inflation that, and nothing major going on there. So, but we do have the tax situation, the tax reform bill going on. There seems to be some kind of a procedural issue tonight. Did you see this with the House? They were.
Yeah, the Senate wanted to add a couple more items.
Ah.
They had, you know, some senator, I guess, came up with it. Hey, you know, it would be better. If, in fact, I might have to vote no if you don't put these in at the last minute after the whole thing's been agreed to. So they agreed to put a couple more things in. But that means the House has to vote again.
So the House has to vote again. I think they either are passing it or they did pass it late. And then
They passed it, yeah. But now they got to pass it again.
Oh, they got to pass it again.
Because these guys have changed a couple of items.
I'm sure for the benefit of the public.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And then the Senate is going to talk about it, and then they're going to vote on it. The hope is they're going to have this done by Wednesday, and then it will be signed immediately when it hits the desk for the president's for his approval. And there you go. You got this whole thing nicely wrapped up in a nice bundle. You got this tax reform. And even in the most recent review of this, it looks like it's going to add about close to $500 billion to the deficit over 10 years, even with growth factored in. And this is from a right of center, the Tax Foundation.
Yeah, I don't know. I think this is all speculation.
It is, because they're factoring in the economic growth using this whole dynamic scoring process.
Yeah.
So one of the things I was wondering is, have they considered that many small companies may switch to pass-through entities and pay less federal taxes? Or they're just looking at all of the...
I have no clue. I think it's a lot of voodoo.
Yeah, the way they calculate it.
Yeah, yeah, I think, well, the whole thing is voodoo.
Well, why
they? It's a slop shot if they even get anyone. You know, the whole thing is ridiculous. But I'll take the tax break.
Oh yeah, I'm in. I'm in for the tax break. Who cares what happens to the country as long as it's good for me?
All I know is, as far as I'm concerned, is if they actually did an audit on some of these huge expenses that we have, that, you know, that's really chewing up the money, like the Pentagon, that they need $700 billion now instead of $600 billion. And they can't never been audited, but they're supposed to be audited. Nobody audits anything, so the money could be all thrown away for all we know, which would pay for the tax bill. Maybe if we got out of Afghanistan, that would pay for the tax bill. There's a lot of things that could pay for the tax bill, and I think they're just squandering money left and right, and this tax bill thing is just, maybe it'll help put a stop to it. I have no idea.
What is the incessant need to keep on building the military? Don't we have – is it money they need to keep the – the troops going, or is this for new projects and new, you know, technology?
Well, they like to say it's for the troops, but there's no evidence of that. No, it's just for more weird stuff they want to build.
And they keep on building it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, look at the price of some of these new jets. Like a half a, you know, like billions. I mean, it's unbelievable, some of these things.
Yeah. All right. Well,
there's the new ships like the Zumwalt. I mean, these things are extremely expensive.
What is that?
And that's these new modern looking destroyers. They look they're very strange looking if you see one, and they cost over billions of dollars for one, and they don't particularly work well.
Very troubling. But you know, the fact is that they're in charge, and it seems that nothing's going to stop them from spending and, you know, cutting taxes and building this. It's amazing, though. I just find it shocking that the Republican Party, that was the party of low deficits, weren't they? Yeah. They were the one about fiscal responsibility for years.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Until they get in power.
Yeah. Until they get behind the cash register and get to ring up whatever they want.
Yeah. Which George Bush started that. He just said, well, these guys are spending too much. We can spend too much. We can outdo them.
And so we outspend them, and then we take in less taxes, and you wonder why we have such a problem with the deficit that causes major weight on the economy, because we have to fund it with debt.
Yeah.
Ah.
Well, most of the bonds are sold to the American public, so.
Yeah, back to the public again.
Yeah.
The U.S. has now said that the, officially said that the WannaCry attack, remember that cyber attack?
Yeah.
Was done by North Korea.
Yeah, which seems highly unlikely. They, by the way, have no proof of this. I was watching the news report just before we started the show. There's no real proof from this. There's just some kind of, there's something written in Korean in the code. And supposedly, okay, it's North Korea's fault. It's very sketchy. Very sketchy.
So
I mean, this is not a country that even has hackers. Right,
that's what I said.
Nobody, they don't even have internet. I mean, where do they get these kids?
Well, the education system's not what it is. So maybe they're learning it on YouTube. Can they get YouTube?
I doubt it.
Yeah. Something I think the same exact thing. You know, they're talking about North Korea's government-backed hackers are blamed for this, for a rising number of cyber attacks, including this one that crippled the hospitals and all that. And they're saying that it's because they're starting to try to blame it on the virtual currencies like Bitcoin. When a tax is supposed to be paid, and they're trying, there's a new source of cash because it can't be traced supposedly. And, you know, you could just have to pay up 10 Bitcoin in order to get your network open and provide the password. And I agree with you. It seems very odd. It almost appears like it's a part of a PR campaign to blame them and create more hatred.
Yeah, that's a possibility. I believe most of these things, if you really ever find out the truth, which is not going to happen, this always comes from the same areas, Ukraine, you know, Bulgaria, these areas, Ukraine mainly. Ukraine is the bad actor in all of this, generally speaking.
Is that
capital headquarters of all these bad malware operations?
Is that who they say is, when they say Russian hackers, they're saying, is that just sloppiness for Ukraine?
Yeah, in my opinion, it is. I don't know that Russia doesn't put up with this as much. The Ukrainian system is built around, you know, allowing all this to happen. They don't have anybody cracking down. Russia doesn't like to do this stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
In fact, if you talk to these guys who investigate these things, they say once the IP address passes through Ukraine, they just give up. So we can't. That's it. We won't be able to trace anything. It's hopeless.
So that's part of their general slush fund for the country.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. I think that honestly, this whole, you know, we get into this whole attacking of Russia, and then we get into the attacking of North Korea. You know, it seems odd that they're the ones to blame, like you said, because, you know, the educational standards, because, you know, who's doing what, who's able to buy computers there.
Yeah. Yeah. What are they using? Old 8080 machines, and they're writing this dynamite code. I mean, it's not, that's ridiculous. If you know, unless they have a whole segment of the country that's super high tech, there's no infrastructure for developing. I mean, we have a lot of hackers in the United States, because we have a huge infrastructure that supports them. We have the internet. We have high-speed computing. We have the best chips, the best machines. Everybody learns how to code. I mean, the whole country has a computer. North Korea, really?
Maybe they're doing it on their old BlackBerry.
Yeah, that could be it. Mm. Or old HP calculators.
Oh, the HP 12C. Remember that one?
Yeah,
oh,
that's the way to go.
That
you
was
can code all kinds of
things. So difficult to deal with. Anybody that knows and have ever had to use a 12C, where you have to push the plus sign after and before and
yes,
all that.
Yes, it's all Polish, Polish reverse notation or whatever it was called. Yeah, everything has to be back assword.
Yeah, I had to do that for when I was studying for my CFP course. There's a requirement to use that so we could do the forward a discount rate, as well as looking at future value of money and a few other things. I'm like, well, can't we just use some kind of other spreadsheet thing or something or other? No, you got to use the 12C. You have to use it, and you have to bring it, you know, to the test and use it. Part of the whole thing is using the 12C.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes nothing but sense.
Yeah. I used to sit there with clients with that stupid thing. All right, let's see. You got to put 50,000 in 2%. And here's what you'll have in 20 years. Yeah. Just get back to the Fed for a second here. It seems that this 2% rate is really starting to bother me. You know, this whole thing about, we're not at 2% yet, so therefore we can't raise rates. So one of the Fed presidents, I guess the president, Keshe Carey, He's reiterating his argument that he needs to see more inflation. He reiterates that he would like to see more banks increase capital levels. He says on margin, he believes that the tax plan can help the Fed hit the 2% inflation target, but he would have preferred it to see it revenue neutral. And that's why he voted against the increase in rates. This guy has been the most dovish of anybody. And so what I did was I put an inflation chart here, which shows the PPI or the wholesale inflation rate that's ticking up at about 3% on a year-over-year basis. CPI on a year-over-year basis is just over 2%. And the if we exclude energy and food, it's about 1.7%, but you can't really take that out. However, if you notice there, I put a link to what Shadow Stats is saying that the inflation rate is, because it seems to me, aside from certain items in life, everything costs more. And anybody that I talk to says on the whole, everything is costing more.
Yeah.
So
anybody who notices anything would say that.
But meanwhile, we don't have any inflation. And again, just to get back to this, I still don't understand why this one hanger is still the thing that's holding back the Fed for being more, you know, is it a crutch that they can use this one item? And if we get over 2.5% or 2% inflation, they're going to say, well, that's fine. However, you know, Cash Carry would be like, I'd like to see that banks increase their capital levels. Increase their capital levels. All they've been doing is sucking in money for the last 5 years at historic levels. What more do you want from banks? The whole thing is nuts.
Yeah, I agree.
But take a look at that link there. You see that link to Shadow Stats?
No, let me go look. Hang on.
These are all on DH Unplugged under the show notes for episode number 387.
He's got the, generally speaking, he'll have better numbers. But that makes practical sense. It won't. You can't calculate it because the calculation has been skewed. I don't know why it's not coming up.
Yeah, it's not coming up for me either.
Okay, you may be down.
Basically, I think it's close to 6 or 7%.
When I looked, we're 8.
Yeah, when I looked earlier. Yeah, he's not coming up. Maybe we crashed the site, the two of us going on at the same time.
There's six guys. Six guys in the chat room and you and me that did it.
Exactly.
Down.
All right, well, take a look at that. You go over to the show notes and check that out. I think it's kind of interesting to see exactly what's going on there in terms of when the inflation numbers are no longer adjusted for whatever was recently adjusted and changed in the calculation process. It shows a much different picture of what's happening. And I think that's more like what we're all seeing. You know, yes. I know gas prices haven't gone up. I get that. Some food prices haven't gone up. But everything else seems to have gone up.
A lot of stuff has gone way up.
Yeah. I concur. All right, let's go to Puerto Rico. Want to go to Puerto Rico? Going to Puerto Rico.
Yeah, let's go to Puerto Rico.
Here's what's happening in Puerto Rico. We know that there's all sorts of problems due to the storm. I went to the Trans-Siberian Orchestra concert on Friday. Have you been to this thing?
I don't know what you're talking about.
This is a group that gets together. This was their Christmas thing.
Is this the Trans-Siberian Railway? That used to be the name of them?
Were they a rock band, kind of?
It's kind of a rock band, big giant band, big rock band.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe
it was like giant Moody Blues.
They, it could be, but they have all these lights and this fire on the stage and these staging that goes up.
It's a show.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah. Anyway, I went there and I was fortunate enough to be asked by FP&L down here to come and sit in their box. So I was with one of the, I don't want to say who it was, but I was with one of the upper, let's just say very high management. And we were talking about a variety of different things. And he was telling me that it's been 101 days since Puerto Rico has had full power. About 20% of the people have power. It's going to cost upwards of like $20 billion to get this thing up and running to rebuild the whole power grid. But as this is going on, we know that historically, Puerto Rico has been having a lot of difficulty paying their bills. They have an extraordinary amount of debt outstanding. And people would buy these things because they were municipal bonds and they were paying pretty good rates. Only paying good rates because they got problems and the chance of a default were high. But what it's found, a recent study or recent investigation by CNBC found that UBS, the big brokerage firm that has mutual funds and all that, it seems that they weren't very forthcoming about the extent of the risks on the Puerto Rico bonds and the funds they had in it, you know, the mutual funds they had their bonds in. I think they had more than $10 billion of Puerto Rico bonds invested in UBS bond funds. And they didn't explain to both clients and brokers that there was major risk and they had that much Puerto Rican bonds in there. 10% of the total island's gross domestic product, you know, in terms of valuation in their funds. And as their funds were plummeting, they, I guess, didn't, there's a whole big thing going on with this. Now those investments that were in those bonds are pretty much done, cooked.
Yes, so.
But I don't know why people, you know, I've always wondered why people are hoodwinked like this, that they don't know that the Puerto Rico bonds of Puerto Rico that have a problem. And what is it? People are just not paying attention anymore?
I guess they're not. What can I say? I mean, that seems like the worst bond in the world to buy. There's some way of shorting it. You want to do that.
Yeah. But the problem is that I guess it's just like what's going on with these cryptocurrency stocks. People are just looking at the names again. They did that for a while, and I thought they were over this. They were getting a little bit more interested in what they have. All you have to do is
read. I don't think this is never going to happen.
No?
No, they're always going to be dumb.
Oh. I guess that's the case. I mean, everybody's looking to get the best they can.
One born every minute. They're just out to get fleeced.
They're just sitting ducks, sheeps. Taken to slaughter.
Get sheared.
It's unfortunate. Listen, here's a lesson. Anybody listening, if you have mutual funds, you need to take a moment every so often and look at the holdings, or maybe even go to Morningstar.com and see what the portfolio has in it. Now, I'm not saying you need to be an expert and dissect every single thing about it, because there's a little bit of hope that the managers are doing the right job. But if you did notice, when you went to Morningstar, if you read any of the annual reports or the quarterlies, that there is an extensive amount of Puerto Rico bonds in their portfolio, you could just call up and ask a question. Are you hedged? Do you have any kind of protection or insurance on these? You know, what's the story with these? And why do you have so much? And maybe it's not the right thing for me. So you could do that.
That would take work.
Ah, true. It looks like the retail brick and mortar and the online is starting to get a little bit more, it's picking up. See, Amazon has a good chunk of the market share, of course, you know, US grocery, home delivery and all that. So some of the old line guys are thinking, here's what we're going to do. You know, Americans love drive-through service. They love their burgers and their coffee. They line up at the Starbucks. They come to McDonald's and they, you know, all these places. They're going to have curbside pickup at Kroger and Walmart.
I'm sorry, what does that mean?
I guess you order it and maybe through an app or online. And then you go to the store and somewhere in the front there's people there with orders, or maybe you give them your order number. They go inside, bring out your order for you, and put it in your car. Curbside pickup. Mind-blowing, huh? Like, really? I don't know. It still seems you have to get in your car, whereas Amazon's delivering right to the house. Why would I want to... What's the advantage of me going and picking up... Then I got to schlep it from the store back to my house.
Yeah. It's better if Amazon delivers it.
Yeah. I don't, they're trying, I guess, but to no avail. So.
I'm not sure. It just can't be that smooth. It's like, you know, you go to In-N-Out Burger. Sure. You can go right up to the drive-up window if you don't mind waiting a half an hour.
Yeah. And then they hand it right to you. It's a small little bag.
Yeah. And so here's the problem with all these schemes. They don't scale.
Right.
Yeah, it's fine if you go drive up to Kroger or whatever and then just honk your horn and they come running out. But now, what if there's 50 people in line because everybody likes the idea so much? That's not going to happen because nobody's going to like the idea. But I'm just saying if they did, they're dead in the water.
Right. Did you ever have those dairy barns where you would drive through? It was like a convenience store that you would.
When I was a kid, we used to have actual dairies that you'd drive through.
Oh.
And you'd pick up, you know, bottled milk, bottled buttermilk, butter, or whatever the dairy sold. And you drive in. It was like a drive-in dairy, and you drove out. And we had one when I was in grammar school, and I think it was still in business when I was at least maybe the first couple of years of high school. And then they got bought out by someone and folded.
I mean, we used to have these things. You just pull up, and you could buy all sorts. It was like a convenience store, you know, like a corner convenience store. But there was two sides, and there's usually two people inside this little place that was just stocked to the brim.
Yeah, this never had an inside you could go into.
Yeah. All right, let's get over to the all-important idea of, it looks like, I'm wondering, is it possible that all of a sudden morals and ethics matter?
No.
No? Oh, really?
No. I don't think so.
Nope.
I thought since we were talking about the Fed, you'd give us the limerick.
I got them coming. I got some limericks from listeners.
Oh, so you've given up.
No, we told them last time to send them in and we'll do it this show.
Oh, we outsourced it.
Yeah. We'll see if they can compete with, Horowitz Limerick Man. but I'll have them next week. And by the way, we have one more show until the end of the year.
Yes.
So a big year. Here's the question. Do moral and ethics matter? And the reason why I ask this, it started with the Me Too movement, right? Where we had some people popping up and saying, hey, this guy sexually assaulted me, abused me, harassed me. And then all of a sudden it just took off, right? Everybody seems to be an assaulter. And by the way,
well, a lot of
thank God for some of these like entertainment. My wife watches Entertainment Tonight. So she didn't watch it for about a week and a half. And she says, will you turn that on for me? I'm like, okay. I don't really like this show, but I'll sit here and watch like a good husband. And we're watching this Entertainment Tonight, and it starts with Matt Lauer, new discoveries, new revelations. So we watch this one, and okay. The next show, when we delete that one, we start Matt Lauer, more. This goes on for over a week and a half.
Matt Lauer's been ousted from the scene. Why do we keep caring after the initial ouster?
They have close-up pictures. Look at this. Matt Lauer's wife is out shopping. No ring. Look at that. Matt Lauer, here's a shot of him from the corner. Doesn't look like he has his ring on. Now there's trouble in paradise. I mean, they're crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Every show starts out with a big picture of his face. Of course, he looks terrible. They find the worst picture possible.
Yeah, if you can't, you can doctor it too.
Yeah, you make him look pale and kind of dark color under his eyes. And so anyway, we have this Me Too movement, and this is all everybody's, people are just Congress is people are flying off the hand, gone and resigning. And there's an allegation against this guy, Kevin Spacey, shut down the show. This is going on, okay? Now, I wonder if we're going to get to part two. Which is the substance abuse realization. So John Skipper.
Well, I know they had some part two racist stuff was for some people. The substance abuse thing is old, an old idea, and you always get out of it by going to rehab and then apologizing. So I can't see that going very far.
You don't think there'll be a lot of finger? Oh, I saw him doing this, or he's drinking on the job, or
no, I don't know. Maybe. I mean, you can see it because they're going to run out of material here with this
exactly
sexual abuse thing eventually,
right? But I wonder. So the answer to the question is: all of a sudden, do we have morals and ethics? The answer is no.
That's the way I see it.
Yeah, this is just outing people for the fun of it, or for the sport of it, or for the just I'm going to take it out on somebody else, or obviously for the reality of it if they are doing something bad. I think they should all deny it. That seems to be the track to take. Just deny it. That seems to be a better.
That's what Trump does. So it seems like he should be. He's setting the moral compass. So if he denies it, everyone should deny it.
Mm. Yeah, good point. Did you see that email I sent you about how easy it is to scam review sites?
No, I missed it.
Oh.
I know it's easy to do.
Well, you know, like Yelp, TripAdvisor.
It never used to be as, you know, Yelp was a good idea because you could check the reviewers. That was the idea. You know, you say, oh, this person didn't like this place. And then you can click on their other reviews and go through them and say, oh, I kind of agree with this person. So the restaurant probably isn't very good. But now you see they have to, you know, Yelp hasn't promoted that as much as, you know, they try to get a bunch of bad reviews. So then go to the operation and say, hey, you know, if you advertise with it, we can probably get rid of some of these for you. I think it's corrupt.
Well, I've always questioned as well. And you try to do your best to find out, okay, where are the people from? What's their spelling and language like and their grammar? See if it's real or not, or who knows? Well, this guy in the UK came up with a fake restaurant idea. I think he writes for vice.com. He said, you know what? We're going to come up with a fake restaurant. So he posted some pictures. He posted some things about the restaurant, which was his house, this little shack he lives in. He had friends and family review it, saying it's, you know, one of the best restaurants in the area, etc. The pictures he used, so on, you got to look at this article. One of the pictures it was, it looked like some kind of a very nice, like a tartare or something in a little round kind of shape with some sauce over it, with some other things on the plate. And then if you pull away, he pulled away and showed you what the actual, what was next to the plate. So he just zoomed in on that and took the picture. It was one of those round things you throw in your toilet. You know what I'm talking about? The bleach pills that you throw in your toilet.
That's funny.
And, yeah, you know, with all sorts of other junk on top. Okay. Like, you know, glue.
So it wasn't even food. It was just
That made it to look good. He did a few of these. He had a picture of an egg that was standing up with something with a blurred background. When you zoomed out, it was the egg sitting on his foot. Okay. So pretty funny. So now he used keywords like by appointment only, or hard to find place, meals prepared for your moods, farm to table. It became London's number one restaurant and never served a guest.
Wow.
I
will bring this up. I brought it up on the No Agenda show. We tried using Yelp when we were in London, and it's not usable, even with or without this phony baloney restaurant that doesn't exist. It turns out JC deconstructed it, my son, and he determined that the reviews in London none of them are about the food. It's all about the service. The food could be great and the service could be mediocre, and so it gets one star. The food could be inedible and the service is really outstanding and it gets 3-5 stars or whatever the max is. Hmm. And so it was a completely unusable mechanism in England, it seems.
Well, that's their take on what dining is all about, right? I mean, I want to know both, actually, but I'd like to know what the food's like. I mean, rate the food. That's the point, right? And then the overall. Maybe they could separate it, say food rating, service rating, overall rating.
Well, a lot of people would do that on their own, but I'd give this place 5 stars for the food, but only 1 star because the waiter didn't come fast enough.
Yeah. He didn't remember my name.
Yeah, I didn't remember my name. He didn't introduce himself properly.
Right.
I'm Bill. I'll be your waiter.
Yeah. All right, we got some Fed limericks. We got a bunch. All right. We had a bunch come in. We only have three that I'm going to talk about here that we could talk about. The other ones were a little not so good. Sorry, out there. You want to take one of these?
No, this is your segment. I refuse to take part. Unless I actually write one, I'll do it.
All right, let's see. Here's one from Chris B. I know a Fed chair named Janet. She could loan all the cash on the planet. Dark money will flow and if crypto gets closed, they will ban it. That didn't seem to work right. Did I not read that right? Oh, no, I got it. I know a Fed chair named Janet. She could loan all the cash on the planet. If rates dip too low, dark money will flow. And if crypto gets closed, they will ban it.
It's good.
All right.
I thought that was very acceptable.
The next one he sent in, I put it in here because he had some DH unplugged in here. Let's see how it goes. Because of the hikes, the yield curve has chugged. Concerns of recession, the Fed has just shrugged. Neil Kashkari was tough, his dissent not enough. Hooray, we have limericks for DH Unplugged. It's a little metronome.
It could have been better.
All right, last one's from Gary H. There once was a Democrat named Yellen. With Republicans in office, she's a sellin'. It's pretty hypocritical that she is so political, but her actions, not words, are telling.
It's fair. I give the first one a B and the other two a C. Plus.
All right. Come on, guys. You need to work on this. This should be your
I'm old, sure. I bet you there's some guy out there that can really crank these things out.
Yeah, probably. You can follow John on Twitter at TheRealDvorak, as opposed to the unreal Dvorak or the fake Dvorak or just Dvorak. And you can follow me at Andrew Horowitz on Twitter. You know, Andrew Horowitz, the name Andrew Horowitz on Instagram is this hot chick.
Andrew Horowitz?
On Instagram.
There's a hot chick?
Yeah, she I guess took that account. I don't know why she did that, but I don't think it has anything to do with me.
That's funny.
Maybe her name is Andrew Horowitz. You don't know. Maybe it's not
Andy,
even a chick.
A-N-D-I-E.
A-N-D-R-E-W.
No, I'm saying A-N-D-I-E is a typical, or A-N-D-I. Right. It'd be a female name. Andy here.
Yeah, I have a relative named Andy. Of course you could donate.
Is it A-N-D-I or A-N-D-Y?
A-N-D-I.
It's a guy or a girl?
I think her name is Andrea, actually, but it's a woman. Andrea, and she goes by Andy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very common.
Let's see. Christmas time is here. It's upon us. You got a box coming Thursday, by the way, from me.
Oh. Now you make me feel guilty.
Don't feel guilty. Just having the pleasure of speaking with you on Tuesdays is enough to really satisfy me.
Yeah.
But speaking of being satisfied, I mean, I think that this time of year is the holiday time of year. You may have made some money from our stock picks. You may not. Maybe you made a whole bunch of money in Bitcoin or not. Either way, it's good. You could donate. I think it's tax deductible somehow. I don't know how, but you could probably. It's not?
No.
Oh. Okay. Well, but it is still life-changing, and you just go over to donate. Listen, if you're listening right now and you haven't donated before, by the way, shame on you. You know, you got to really, you got to keep up. You got to get the money to pay for the shirts and all that. Let's take a look at this, by the way. Let's see where we are on this. Let's see if I can
the shirts.
Click this here somewhere. Open. So let's see how the closest to the pin cup is doing, okay?
Sure.
So, wow.
These are the superstars that are involved in this little game.
Yep. The average price of entries is $24,244. Currently, okay. Dow Jones is trading at 24,754. That's 500 points. That's about 2% differential. PJ is $8 off, 0.03%.
Well, then he's not going to win.
Yeah, why not? Oh, you think it's going to change dramatically?
Well, you got a couple. What? We got 2 weeks.
A week and a half. 10 days. 10 days. Yep.
10 days. Nah, I don't think it's going to be the same in 10 days. Kyle, I think it'll be a sell-off. I think the guys who went low. Who went low?
Let's see. We got 20. Chris at 23.27.
I think he's got a shot.
6% off. Then we got Fred, Nicola, in order of who's closest right now. Matthew, Sam, Roman, Rick, Warren, and Christopher. Mm. So
it's a horse race.
Yep.
Cabbage by a head. I mean, I could be wrong about it selling off a little bit, but at the end of the year, I mean, I guess there's a rally sometimes, Christmas rally, but I don't see it. I think the tax thing has already been factored in, so that's not going to change anything unless they don't vote for it or it doesn't pass.
Well, the markets already, the futures are indicating, it was down today, the markets a bit, but indicating that they are excited about the passes because, you know, they're up. I think we had two days of the S&P down. Was it down yesterday? Let me think. Today's Tuesday. I don't even remember yesterday from today. All right, let's look here. President Trump is trying out a new campaign slogan. This was on Bloomberg. So I don't think it's how's your 401k doing?
Yeah, okay.
The problem, that's what they said. That's his new slogan, one of his new slogans. How's your 401k doing? Unfortunately, the answer for more than half Americans is that they don't have one.
Yeah, well, there you have that. And you also live by the sword, you die by the sword if things turn around.
And
you can get, I mean, that's like Read My Lips. That got, you know, George H.W. Bush not elected because he said that once and he got had to be saddled with it.
There was also a comment by, I think, his press secretary that said that look at the stock market. It's done so great, almost historical under President Trump. But I think that the stock market's up 26% since he took office. I think that's the number.
Yeah.
Whereas it was up 29% under Obama.
From the beginning to the end?
Same period of time. Same period of time from when he took office to now. So it's whatever, 10 months or so.
The Obama market went up 29% in 10 months when he got elected?
Yep. Remember he came out and he said it's a good time to buy stocks because the price, what did he say? He said something really weird.
Well, it was depressed at the time.
Yeah. Okay. But this is very standard on a new president coming in, that, especially from an old one. That there's a hope for change on whatever's happening. They're going to implement something because they can't just come in and say, okay, we're just keeping everything the way it was. That doesn't happen. They got to shuffle something around.
Yeah.
So they build up the hopes. They want to make it, they want to put their stamp on it.
Right.
So now, meanwhile, if you want to say that the Dow Jones Industrial Average went up 5,000 points, which is a record in point value.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, that's what you should use.
Yeah. Went up more points than ever. You know, there was a time when 20 points was a big move.
Yeah, those days are over.
Yep, gone. In Hong Kong, they're getting creative in Hong Kong. A lack of cemeteries, a lack of space in cemeteries is having a guy come up with a new idea because it's like there's some ridiculous price, like $130,000 to store the ashes of loved ones. There's just no room. So this guy, iveneration.com, came up with the ability to create virtual headstones anywhere in an augmented reality landscape in Hong Kong, including such unlikely places as a downtown park. So now you don't have to pay for it. You just put this virtual, I guess you put a virtual headstone and you could go to the park with your phone, I guess, look at it or something.
Brother.
Yeah. Let's see. U.S. health officials are cracking down on unproven alternative remedies. FDA is issuing a new proposal for regulating homeopathic medicines that have been long on the fringe of mainstream medicine.
Why?
I guess they said that it plans to target products that pose the biggest safety risks, including those marketed for children or for serious diseases. I don't know what that would be. Is it those, whatever those commercials are for, increase your brain power? Or
whatever that stuff is.
Provigen or whatever.
Jellyfish.
Yep. As long as they get that MyPillow guy off TV, I'll be happy.
Oh, I'm getting sick of that MyPillow guy.
Oh.
Those pillows aren't cheap either.
Yeah, and I can't even, they're everywhere now. They're everywhere you go.
And it's not as though they're down, goose down feathers or anything. They're like a bunch of, I don't know, I needed a pillow. So because I have a goose down pillow, but they actually over time, they're very, very hard to keep fluffy. You got to get something new. I didn't want to spend any money on a pillow. And I said, I'll just get something at Costco.
Yeah.
And so they had these they had this manufactured weird pillows, very similar to a MyPillow. Beautyrest Black.
Wow.
Like a Beautyrest Black label. And it's a fine pillow. 2 for $19.
There you go.
And I'm using this pillow. I'm thinking, this is a fine pillow. This is not a dog of a pillow. Like a cheap sponge pillow you run into once in a while. I just don't see why people just don't go to Costco and get a pillow. I checked all the pillows out there. And it was the cheapest one and just as good as the rest.
Yep.
And it might fall apart eventually, but
still, but for 19 bucks for two, who cares? You got an extra one. Yeah,
$10
Yeah.
Put the other one. Yeah.
You know, neutrality is being repealed, and Comcast came out and said, we're not going to be increasing rates nor doing any throttling, or, you know, they came out and said all this, right?
Yeah.
Now, that was then. They're increasing rates. Now they're going to, it's kind of interesting what they did here. They're not increasing your internet rate. They're increasing your pay TV services rate.
Ah.
They're jacking up prices on its premium channels, as well as its regional sports fee, from $5 to $6.75 a month, and price hikes of about $1 to $5 for most of the services. What's fascinating is, weren't we just all freaking out about skinny bundles and, you know, the unbundling of the whole entire universe of Dish and DirecTV and Comcast? Yeah. And they have
a la carte programming.
Yeah, and like, they'd have to lower their prices, and ESPN and is having big problems, and now they're raising the rates. How does that work?
They'll probably get people to bail out. Mm. I don't know. I don't know why it's so expensive.
Yep. My Comcast in my house is ridiculously priced.
What is it?
It's like $300 a month.
It's ridiculously priced. It's too high.
Yeah, it started out at like $200, and I got a deal.
Still too high.
I got all these channels. I got the internet. I got all this stuff, and then all of a sudden I'm like, wait a minute, what happened to the bill? How'd it go up?
It shouldn't be more than $100. Should be $50 for the internet and $50 for the TV.
All I want is the high def channels. Can I just get the high def? I don't need anything else. Just the 400s. It's all I want. I don't look at anything else. So stupid. Big news on Chick-fil-A. It broke its rule. You know what the big rule is, right?
The rule is you can't kill your customer.
Well, that's rule number one. Number two is you're not open on Sunday. Chick-fil-A is not open.
Oh, they're not open on Sunday because it's the company itself is very religious.
Right, but due to what went on in Atlanta over the weekend and all these people stranded, they actually opened up and served people on Sunday.
Oh, well, I think that was nice.
Yeah, that's awesome, right?
Turned out to make a huge amount of money. Now they're going to be open on Sunday all the time.
Aha, there you go. It starts small. We got creep. It's a slippery slope. It's like taking drugs. You smoke one joint, you're on heroin 5 days later. These guys will probably be open 24/7 before you know it.
Yeah, there you go. 24/7. I guess that Chick-fil-A in Manhattan just does a hell of a business.
Yeah, everywhere.
Actually, they do very well.
They have to have people standing outside taking orders in the drive-through line.
Well, they have to do that at In-N-Out Burger too.
I gotta have an In-N-Out Burger. I haven't had one in years, years and years and years. None over here.
But they're never gonna get there.
We got a couple of things we could postpone to next week, like the discussion from Sir Ian McClellan and what Pope Francis is saying. But the big question is, what is John C. Dvorak writing for PC Magazine?
That's a good question, because I just finished that column today. And of course, I wasn't prepared as often is the case. And so I have to quickly look at the title.
Ah, you lost. The chat room had you at 7.5 seconds.
Yeah.
That was the other over.
Oh, yes. I talk about sports tech. First of all, I talk about, you know, the New York Times came up with an article about how the NFL could put sensors in the football and they wouldn't have all these issues with, you know, trying to figure out if a guy's got a first down or not. It would all be done through telemetrics. And I said, well, you know, they could also do this. They could do the strikes and balls. There's no reason that umpires are back there doing that anymore. That technology has long been, you know, available. And then I kind of finally concluded that the reason you don't see any of this stuff is because, unlike with, for example, bowling in the 40s, where they had pin boys and then they replaced that with automatic pin setters, now they have automatic scorekeepers and all this stuff. Unless it eliminates a job and just screws somebody out of their whole livelihood, technology is never implemented.
So, but wouldn't somebody calling balls and strikes eliminate the ump?
No, I thought about that, and I realized you still have to have a guy behind the plate to whether the guy's safe or not.
Well, it's like tennis. Tennis has the most refs and umpires and all that stuff.
Well, that should all be computerized.
It is computerized. You can see when they're constantly going and looking. I think it's fascinating where they do the, you know, review cam when they challenge a call.
Yeah.
And they can see where it is. But why not just have it computerized at that point?
You still need the guy that where the guy slides, he's safer out. You still need the guy there for that.
Well, on baseball, but what about tennis?
There's no reason for all these extra people, it seems to me. Yeah, one guy.
There's one, two, three, four. There's seven people.
Yeah, there's no reason for it. It's dumb. Mm. I don't know why they haven't gotten rid of those seven people. Because generally speaking, technology gets rid of jobs.
Yep. I was on a golf course last week that had old technology. The whole time it's telling me how far I am, where I'm at. It keeps on beeping on me. It was really cool because when you go off the areas that you're supposed to be driving on, like there's, you know, off in the out of bounds, you get it beeped and the cart slows down. It won't go full speed, or it won't go full speed either when you're driving on areas that there's like people.
Is there a sensor in the ball?
No, not the ball, the golf cart.
Oh.
The golf cart has some kind of sensor built in throughout the entire country club.
Does it know where the ball is? Does it drive you right to it?
Now that would be helpful because we lost a few balls.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
That would be helpful. Yep.
When I was a kid and I played golf, we walked the course.
Yeah. Takes a lot longer, but yeah.
Well, it's part of the charm of the game.
I suppose.
Just driving around the course in a truck. I mean, what fun is that? I mean, that's not exercise.
Who said it's supposed to be exercise?
Well, it is. If you walk the course, it's a good walk.
Right. I agree. All right, let's get to the stocks. It's a game that we play. It's not an offer to buy or sell any security. It's just discussion, not a recommendation. It's something we come up with to have a little fun. If you decide for whatever reason to follow along, hey, do yourself a favor, get some professional financial advice, understanding the fact that it's very aggressive, risky, and you can lose a lot of money by doing so. So there you go. John C. Dvorak, myself, or Horowitz Company clients may own securities that we talk about, and we will duly note that on this. Question, the Double Eagle acquisition, did you ever get any further information on that?
No.
Okay, so that's going to come off. Since I can't get any numbers on it.
Yeah, it's impossible.
Yeah.
Very strange.
We got some red, we got some green, we got some things that came out. Tesla's out, Roku's out. A little bit of a gain there after then it ramped higher. GE just can't get anywhere, down 4%. Stamps down 8%, of course, just can't make it on that one either. Barnes & Noble up 5.5%. That's your pick. Edison International up 0.6%. And Riot Blockchain. Now, this is one of these other names again. Down 5%, but it could have been a lot worse. I think it's trading at about 45 right now.
Well, I want to short that other one talked about.
I think it's L-I-F-N. Nope.
Yeah, that's it.
L-I-F-N. Enter. Let's see if we could get this going here. Let's see. Let's see if that will work. Control-C. Control-V. L-F-I-N.
No.
L-F-I-N. Maybe that's it. There we go. Longfin Corp.
Yeah, Longfin.
So you're going to short this. You want a 15% stop on it? I would suggest that.
20.
Okay, okay, we can do that. Let me go put this gray. And we're going to put 20 on here. 20%. What else? I don't have anything this week. What else do you have?
Oh, okay. I got two more. I've got, and this one I'll explain. This is an insider deal. This is Discovery Communications.
D-I-C-A or D-I-C-K?
D-I-C-A. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, D-I-S-C-A.
Right, Disco.
John Malone's just bought like fortune in it, like 20, I think 6 million, and then he bought some recently. John Malone, and I looked at his record. John Malone plays this stock.
Mm, really?
He buys it below 20. Right now it's at 22. He buys below 20 and sells above 30. And he does it over and over. And he's good at it. Mm-hmm. And he just rides it. You know, it's just one of those things. Yeah, I'm here. You know, it's like $10 million worth of it in and out.
That's the guy.
It adds up.
Yeah, no kidding.
Now, since I thought of John Malone, there's another one that I'm thinking, this is different. This was not an insider thing. I don't know how much he's got. He's still a majority owner through some other company, which is that other guy, Redstone, mm-hmm. Sumner, mm-hmm. who I met once. He's exactly how you'd think he was. And I think I want to go long Viacom.
Is it V-I-A?
I don't remember this. V-I-A, I think, is all it is. Yeah. I think it's Via. Here's what I'm thinking. If the 20th Century Fox, the 20th Century Fox Disney thing goes through, I think we're going to start to see consolidation in that at the high end of the movie business. Mm. Viacom owns Paramount. Paramount is the weak sister in the system right now. They're the ones that are undervalued, underpriced. They have a lot of franchises that are valuable. They got, you know, Star Trek and things like that. And I think it's a merger candidate.
Ah.
Malone's getting old. Now, here's what I'm thinking. I'm sorry. Sumner Redstone. Here's what I'm thinking. Redstone's not going to sell anything under any circumstances. Mm-hmm. And he's a majority owner of CBS and a majority owner. I mean, he just owns all these operations and he just likes to sit on them. He's 95.
Ah, getting old.
He's going to drop dead. Now, there's guys like you can make this investment on just as a speculation, and can you might be holding on to it for 10 years because Redstone will be 104, 105, and then this will never move. But if he dies in any time soon or comes to his senses, Paramount's up for sale. I think this is a doubler or more at some point. And that means Viacom, which is the majority shareholder of that company, will go up.
Mm-hmm. That's a good thesis.
I think so.
Yeah. All right, we'll watch for that. And, of course, you can listen to No Agenda each and every Thursday and Sunday for the news and information deconstructed the way it should be with Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak. So make sure to tune into that live each day or get it on your favorite podcast system, etc. You can listen to The Disciplined Investor. I got a great guest coming up, Ben Hunt, PhD. This guy is a brilliant writer and philosopher, I guess a behavioral finance guru.
Another behavioral guy.
This guy's really good. I like him. He writes some funky stuff. Hmm. He's good.
Well, I'll be listening into that for sure.
Yeah, he's good. All right, and then I'll see you next week.
All right, so long.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.